Good evening, planet Earth. It is May the 18th, 2025, Boblimpdoc. It's just after 9 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. Good evening to the flowers. Good evening to the deer. Good evening to the eagle overhead when it appears. Good evening to the owl. Good evening to the salmon. Good evening to the bear and the cougar and the wild things that run through the night. Yeah. So I got some not so great news. Wow, that sounds dumb. I'm going to drink some water before I continue. For the life of me, I can't really find any news that I would consider good that I can believe. Like, I wish I could believe a lot of the nonsense that many of the folks that I've known in the past believe. And I get why they need to believe it, but I can't. So when I say to you, I don't have any good news, that's kind of stupid. When do I ever really? And what I'm about to talk about is really not relevant to survival. In fact, it fits into the category of solving problems from 2019. It really does. Which means I would be better off not talking about it, but I'm just going to point this out. I am not canceling the podcast, but I checked the cost of renewing my hosting plan with Bluehost, and I simply can't afford it. And that's even if we start working again this week, and there's a chance that could happen, but I don't know. I can't afford to do it. I don't have the resources. I'm not going to tell you how much it is because that would just be like pouring salt on a wound. If I have 5 people out of 50 that are real people listening to this podcast, chances are those 5 people have no more money than I do. And that's the truth. And I could simply suck, which means that the logical ending of this podcast is for it to shut down. I could. I could suck. I could be crazy. There could be absolutely no point to speaking my mind in this way. All of that could be true. And like solving problems from 2019, I too have to take my own medicine and get the fuck over it. Get over the online scammers. Get over the Goat King bullshit. Get over all of it. Because none of it is going to help me survive, if I care. None of it's going to increase my odds of survival, if I care. And if I don't care, then what's the fucking point there either, right? So what does this mean? Does it mean the podcast is over? No, it does not. But it does mean that sometime in the next month and a half, the Bluehost site will no longer work. Now, I'll probably point the links I have at my podcast, and as far as publishing notes, I'll probably keep doing that, but as an attachment to an email. But yeah, you know, if you check out the actual stats on my website, nobody visits. Like when Anna Banana wrote her paper or whatever, her essay, her article, I don't want to call it news, but whatever the fuck she produced for Mother Jones, I checked out the pass-through numbers. They were really pathetic. And it's entirely possible that, yeah, you know, that's just because you suck. But also, she used the internet history links, right? She didn't actually have links to my site. She used the links to a site that has never pointed towards me. So it's all kind of accidental and random. But if it really mattered, if there were people that really wanted my blog to stay up, then I would probably know by now. Most of you, if you just listen to the fucking podcast, I bet you don't even give a fuck. And I wouldn't either. I'm listening to the podcast. I don't need to go see the notes. About the only fucking reason I did this was because a complainer, and now I think really just a troll, was telling me back in 2019 that, oh, I have to have my notes published online. I can't just do a podcast. Now, of course, you get a few thousand characters on Rumble and Spotify, so if you're clever, you can include some notes, or at least a summary, in the podcast itself, whatever. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm not really going to prejudge this because it hasn't actually happened yet. But unless I can raise a lot of money in the next couple months, the blog is going away, and it probably doesn't matter. On this date, May the 18th, 1980, Mount St. Helens blew its top, and a man by the name of Harry Truman was blown with his cats, with his World War II submarine that he buried underground, with his 900 gallons of whiskey and his 85 tons of canned chili. He was thrown into space. He's still out there drifting around in a parabolic orbit. He'll be coming back around again. Or I should say, an elongated elliptical orbit. Yeah, parabolic. Anyways, this article was published in the Moscow Pullman Daily News. It was published today, May the 18th, 2025, and the title of the article is "Never Lost Her Love for Grandpa Truman." Clarkston woman who died last year was granddaughter of the Mount St. Helens legend, Harry Truman, and this was written by Matt Bainey. Harry Truman became a modern folk hero 45 years ago for his steadfast refusal to leave his lodge in the shadow of Mount St. Helens. Even as experts warned that the volcano in southwestern Washington might erupt. Reporters covering the rumbling mountain in the spring of 1980 often turned their attention to Truman, describing the 83-year-old business owner and former bootlegger as gruff, stubborn, funny, above all, fiercely independent. And those depictions were more or less accurate, said Dan Plute, a Clarkston Heights man who is Truman's grandson-in-law. A lot of people used to use the word crusty, Plute said last week. Hard-working, hard-drinking, full bore no matter what he was doing. There was no idol with him. Plute was married to Judy Burnett Plute, who was Truman's granddaughter. Judy died of brain cancer at 75 in February 2024. Dan Plute, who is 71, said his wife was quite familiar with her grandfather's cantankerous side. She and her brother Barry worked at Truman's Mount St. Helens Lodge when they were teenagers in the 1960s. My wife never lost her love for Grandpa Truman, Dan said. She was also protective of his legacy. Judy generally kept off-color stories about Truman to herself and wouldn't tell new friends about her famous relative. It was usually Dan who brought it up. Mount St. Helens started showing ominous signs of life in March 1980 with earthquakes and pyroclastic flows. That's when Truman started brushing off requests, followed by orders to leave the area. And when the legend of the stubborn man of the mountain started to grow, depending on the day, Truman doubted an eruption would happen. And if it did, the effects wouldn't reach his lodge, which was 7 miles from the mountain and protected by snow, the tree line, and Spirit Lake. He also claimed he had a mine shaft on his property he could duck into, and he occasionally seemed at peace with going out in a blaze of glory with the mountain. He dug himself a hole so deep he couldn't get out of it, Dan said. He played the rugged mountain man, independent guy, so hard that, even when the professionals were telling him, you need to get out of here now, he couldn't do it. He had played that role so long, I don't think he could have backed down. Ultimately, Truman and the mountain went out together May the 18th, 1980, a tremendous landslide on the north side of the mountain, followed an instant later by the eruption, sent an unbelievable amount of ash and gas and debris towards Truman's place. It's thought that he and his 16 cats, died instantly. Yeah. I'm going to stop right there. I was 10 years old when Mount St. Helens went off, and if you've been listening to my podcast for several years, you know that I don't always talk about it, but when it comes up, I do. And it's a whimsical topic to me because I can imagine this old bootlegger, this old cantankerous guy, having buried a World War II German submarine on his property. And I think he did outfit it for outer space. He pressurized it. He had oxygen converters and water supplies. He had all the chili and the whiskey. And when Mount St. Helens went off and he went down into his ship with all of his cats and whiskey and chili, and cat food, of course, he was ready for outer space. And he's still drifting out there. He's been drifting for 45 years. He's coming back again to teach us a lesson, to teach you a lesson. Yes, school is, you know, school is in. School is in. And just like Flynn, he'll appear. He has a bunch of old parachutes he put onto that submarine. And when that crusty chunk of earth heads back down again, and we see him and all of his cats, and I don't know if cats can live to be 45 or 50 years old, but hey, he had 16 cats. It was a generation ship. He was on a big elliptical tour of the solar system, and now he's home with his cats. He's going to teach us a lesson, one we'll never forget, because we fucking deserve it. So, you know, I'll just leave it there. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The enemies of Zionism can lose 10,000 wars. The Zionists of occupied Palestine can only lose once. And another quote from Dr. Freckles, related but briefer, if the modern state of Israel loses one battle, it likely loses the war. So, Israel as it currently exists. I don't include Gaza or the West Bank. I don't include the Golan Heights or any other territory they've ripped off in the last year or so. Again, screaming and yelling, look what you did to us, as they kill a shit ton of people. Something to keep in mind, the basic footprint of Israel today is about 10 times the size of Fort Irwin's Brigade on Brigade Combined Arms Training Center in California called NTC. I mention this because that postage stamp is about big enough for brigade on brigade war games. And it is, you know, yeah, Israel's 10 times bigger, big deal. There's not a lot of space there for a battle. You really can't have the battle anywhere near Israel, or else you run the risk of losing the whole war. This state, this unstable state, this recent state, I know people, but it's in the Bible, folks. What's also in the Bible is 1 Samuel chapter 8, where the Lord says, and this is several hundred years before the Solon Constitution, so you can say king or sovereign, and it doesn't matter if you vote for him. When the Lord says you will have no sovereign before me, he meant it. And when he talked about that curse is real, and it's never been lifted. Never. Okay? Never, ever, ever. The curse of 1 Sam 8 is 100% still in place. And ask yourself, how many governments of Israel have been destroyed since then? Since the time of Samuel? I'd say a few. I haven't counted them all. I haven't counted all the diasporas and all the captivities and all the invasions of Persians and Greeks. But the reality is governments of Israel have failed many times. The people of Israel have been scattered many times. The argument that this is in fact their land is not relevant. The question is there another unstable government that again is cursed that, you know, also has nuclear weapons? Because that's the problem. The main issue with Israel isn't just that they are unjustly occupying territory that is not theirs, and that all of their arguments are spurious. The arguments based on the Bible, the might makes right, the, oh, they weren't doing nothing with it. These are bogus fucking arguments. These are the arguments that justify stealing. And they don't make any sense, and you should reject them. But you add to this that this country, this unstable country, in my opinion, a lot like Jonestown, also has nukes, which means that you have a situation where the hair trigger for nuclear war is really measured in hours. It really is. the state of Israel can't lose that much territory. It certainly doesn't have that much key terrain. Understand, if you don't have a lot of terrain, you don't have a lot of key terrain. There are a few strategic locations that would have to be taken out. And here's the other problem. The state of Israel has driven everybody fucking crazy. Everybody, all their neighbors, quote unquote, a lot of their friends have been driven crazy. And there's a point at which crazy behaves exactly that way. Now, if your argument is, well, damn, what about mutual assured destruction? Well, the Israelis have never admitted to having nukes. So in a sense, MAD doesn't apply either. Everybody knows they have them. It's just that they've never admitted to it. I could imagine an Iranian government, especially if it's been attacked in the way that I think could be coming, I can imagine them loading radiological materials onto all their missiles. And it won't matter if the Iron Dome takes them out. It won't matter if they exactly don't hit their targets. If tens of thousands of these missiles hit Israel in any way with radiological materials, they're salting the earth. Okay, you reach a point where, okay, if you're going to be thieves and liars and scumbags, and I'm talking about the state of Israel right now, I'm not talking about Jewish people, I'm not talking about Hebrews or even Semitic peoples. That would include the Phoenicians. How retarded can you fucking be? I'm talking about the crooked government of Israel. And if you push people to a certain point, don't be surprised if a rain of nuclear materials falls on your head. And maybe that's the best the Iranians can do, but I gotta tell you, they could probably do that. I don't think any of this ends well, at all. The only way it could possibly end well is if the people of Israel got rid of their government, immediately ended the bullshit that's going on in Gaza, and tried to make peace with everybody instead of doing what looks like a very rushed job of ethnic cleansing. And notice, I didn't say genocide. I said ethnic cleansing, because that's exactly what they're doing. Next topic. So, supposedly Trump has a plan, and I think this is so dumb that it really does fall into the category of it's never going to happen. But supposedly Trump has a plan, and I have a link to an article you can look at. It was published the other day. The headline of the article is, Trump administration is working on a plan to move 1 million Palestinians to Libya. Okay, so Libya is a failed state. And it's a failed state because we took out Gaddafi. We took out Gaddafi, who under Bush was supposedly one of our allies in the war on terror. And Gaddafi, trying to make peace, gave up his nuclear program. Huh, he probably shouldn't have, you know? We took out Gaddafi, and the vacuum was filled with slavers and, you know, foreign corporations and militia and mercenaries. It was filled with evil, and it's still filled with a lot of chaos and evil. So if you really believed that you could move these million people to anywhere, Libya could very well be the worst fucking place possible. In fact, the only reason to send 1 million Palestinians to Libya is for them to get killed, raped, and turned into slaves. And if you ask the state of Israel how they feel about that, they'd be 100% okay. I'm just asking humans with a conscience to say, this is probably wrong. But folks, this fits under the category of never going to happen. Okay, this is definitely a kind of trauma monkey. Not necessarily targeting us, but it's bullshit. The logistics alone of doing this would be so incomprehensible that it would be a non-starter. But you also have to assume that you could find 1 million Palestinians who would go along with this. Because otherwise you're rounding them up, right? And it's basically forced expulsion, which is, I think, a war crime. I know that nobody talks about war crimes any longer because it doesn't really matter. Nobody fucking cares. Go home, get done with your job, turn on whatever noise you need, go exercise at your fucking gym and make sure you eat the right nutrients, buddy. But nobody cares. Next topic. Yeah, they care. Yeah, they care enough to do what? To go protest? Way beyond that, folks. So this is an article from the BBC.com headline. Two dead as Mexican Navy ship crashes in the Brooklyn Bridge. And it was written by Pratiksha Gildial and Yaroslav Lukiev and Ruth Comerford. Yeah, great. Two people have been killed and at least 19 others injured after a tall Mexican Navy training sailing ship crashed into the New York City's Brooklyn Bridge. Police said the Cuauhtémoc, I don't know how to say that and I don't care, with 277 people on board, lost power on Saturday as the captain was maneuvering the vessel, forcing it to head for the bridge abutment on the Brooklyn side. Footage shows the ship's towering mast clipped the bridge as it passed under the structure. Crew members were standing on the mast as they snapped and fell to the deck, authorities said. Brooklyn resident Nick Corso, who witnessed the accident, said the area erupted in panic. There was lots of screaming. Some sailors hanging from the mast, he told AFP. New York City Mayor Eric Adams confirmed on X that two people died and two of the 19 injured were in critical condition. Brooklyn Bridge did not suffer any major damage and was reopened after preliminary inspection. Police said they believe mechanical malfunction and a power cut had caused the collision. Blah, 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 blah. This is a weird story, and I'm not even sure how you should interpret it. It's a lot like some of those stories that came out a number of years ago about, naval ships running aground or whatnot because people didn't know how to navigate or something. I don't know what to believe about this story, to tell you the truth. It's possible that the water was moving so quickly that they didn't have time to keep the ship from hitting the Brooklyn Bridge. But who knows? It seems like the mass of these ships, I don't know how to put this, it seems like it would have been more likely that they would have sort of just stuck there versus just crashing over, but who knows? I don't know, folks. I don't really have a three-masted ship, so I can't tell you whether stuff like this happens very often or not. But it's a weird story. I wouldn't get suckered into making fun of people. There is a kind of ritualistic angle to this, which you can look into yourself, but it's just a weird story. Weird, weird story. So another strange idea coming from the Trump administration is to have the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, look into TDS. That's Trump Derangement Syndrome. And listen, there have got to be big pharma companies who want to sell more drugs who are just loving this idea. Another disease that we made up that we can give people versions of Prozac and say, oh, you know, we're going to call this, who knows what name they come up with. Oh, yeah. So the story of using psychological diagnoses to deal with your political enemies, this is a very common story in the last 100 years or so. But there was a specific country that really did this a lot, and it was the Soviet Union. After the quote-unquote secret speech of Khrushchev, where he admitted to all the deprivations and evils of Stalin, they could no longer do the same things they were going to do, and they knew this. They couldn't really just round people up and shoot them in the head at Lubyanka, and the Gulag archipelago was overflowing. So, and they also needed a category for people that they would want to rehabilitate but not do too much damage to, like nuclear scientists, right? So what they did is they said, you know what, we're going to call people who don't like the Soviet Union crazy. That's it. Call them crazy. And they did. They took dissidents, they took various writers and people that just had any kind of opinion and probably used this against ex-wives too and sent them to insane asylums. I don't think this is a very relevant subject. This is a trauma monkey. The idea that people want to label their enemies as having a mental illness is a feature of communism. But most of the mega retards don't really get that. They don't get that this is an incredibly commie thing to do. But what's more relevant, and I said this 8 years ago, it would be about 9 years ago now. I said this about 9 years ago. I said Trump Derangement Syndrome, or TDS, was not just about people that thought he was literally Hitler. It was really also about the people that thought he was going to help them. You know, he's here to help. He's here to be a great American patriot. Both of these groups are kind of deluded. Do I think we should have a diagnosis for it? No. I say let reality do what it's about to do. That, you know, there are people who are driving the process, and these are the ground troops of military psychological warfare. But then there are people who are being pulled along. on both sides. The Trump is Hitler, or Trump, you know, is a hero. He's not a hero. He's not Hitler. I stick to this, and I stick to it stubbornly. He's a fucking column of smoke. He's a big-ass column of smoke, so whatever the fuck he's hiding is not insignificant. But he's just a fucking column of smoke, folks. I'm going to let you meditate on this, and we're going to go to the next topic. Oh, so it turns out that President Biden has cancer. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've experienced this in my life, and I've seen this with my own eyes. And I'm kind of guilty of it, too. But people will canonize folks, will make them seem like saints and heroes when they find out somebody has cancer. And this is natural with friends and family. People love you. They care about you. You have cancer, and it's a big fucking traumatic ordeal. And it is. If you've ever had a loved one go through cancer, and I've seen it a couple times, it's ugly as hell. It's so ugly, you say to yourself, I'm not even going to go through the treatment. I'd rather just have a catastrophic system failure, heart attack, bleed out in my brain, than take any of the chemo or the radiation or the surgery. That's where I'm at. If you were to ask me what my position on cancer is, it's like, you know, everybody dies, and I knew a crap ton of people that got cancer way before the COVID, way before the fucking vaccine. And I don't care if somebody wants to troll me about that or send me an angry email. I saw the cancer straight on decades ago, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. I don't know if they keep accurate data, because I don't think they would. But what I can tell you, along with the autism and the diabetes, what was relatively rare and a kind of special Little House on the Prairie episode suddenly became everywhere when I was an adult. And that's cancer. Just like the autism, just like the diabetes. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Cancer does not make you a good or bad person. You're just sick. Cancer does not take away your sins. Cancer doesn't give you superpowers. Cancer doesn't make you nice if you're cold as ice. There's a link from history.com about Ed Gein. Ed Gein was a serial killer, mass murderer, terrible piece of shit. And the link talks about how he dies. He died of cancer. I don't really care or know anything about President Biden. All I can tell you is that cancer does suck. And when people say I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemies, that's probably true. But these same people out there who are supposedly switching gears and saying, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, these same people were wishing death on Biden for years, cursing him for years. If cancer were the result of negative thoughts, Mega Man has been wishing that guy dead for years. And so all of a sudden, turning him into a saint or something or whatever, all of a sudden turning on your respect because you find out he has cancer, don't be so dumb. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. If you focus on how people die, you're going to miss the point. It isn't how you die, it's how you live. The question is, how did he live? What kind of person was he? If I found out, you know, Donald J. Papa Blumpity Blump had cancer, would that change any of my opinions about him? No. If I found out that Prime Minister Netanyahu had cancer, would that change any opinion? I think maybe he's had cancer. I also couldn't give a fuck. I don't wish it on him. I don't care if he has it. And if all of a sudden Netanyahu died of cancer, it would not make him a good person. Okay, if you are driving a car and you get into a car wreck and it kills you, that doesn't make you a good person. If you're hang gliding and you fall to the earth, it doesn't make you a good person. If you're fighting in combat, some enemy for some reason given to you by somebody else, and you die in combat, guess what? That does not make you a good person. Okay, that's just how you died. Are there times when you say, oh, but what about the person who died protecting another person? Well, that's it. But that's how they lived. How they died was getting shot. How they lived was protecting the people they love. I don't really care how I die. I really don't. It does matter to me how I've lived and how I continue to live. I couldn't give a crap what ends up killing me. I just get sick of it. People spin a tale, and I think this is related to the way that the PSYOPs have been managed since 2020, because when it comes to things getting real, that's when they'll shift the narrative. And so if you've been on social media the last day, you'll see a lot of people doing the whole, oh boy, oh this, oh that, you know, let's all just come together because the person we wish dead is dying. And so when you see these trolls, these talking heads, these U.S. Air Force troll farm freaks spinning the other narrative, you realize they're mind-fucking people. They're gaslighting people. The other day, the same person on social media said, Biden this and Biden that, and now they're lionizing the guy, setting him up to be a saint. Not all of them, not all of them. It wouldn't work out very well if it was all of them, but I gotta just tell you, these navigational mistakes that the PSYOP engineers are making seem indicative to me that we're very close to some stuff, you know, falling apart anyways. Next topic. I don't care how you feel about President Biden having cancer. And if you think it's something they covered up, maybe they did. It seems like towards the end, there were several people who called themselves Biden, but none of the pictures looked the same. So you go with what you need to go with, you know? So I have a bad link. I have a bad link. I have a bad link. Great. That was just not cool what just happened. I just got to tell you. Paid fools. So sometimes when I'm making out my notes, I end up with a bad link. I have an article from realclearwire.com, and it refers to Bernie Sanders flying in a plane. I don't know. Going around in a plane. And the argument is, okay, so this is the argument. I don't want to read this because it's so much garbage. The argument goes like this. Bernie Sanders says there's a climate emergency. But Bernie Sanders flies around in a jet airplane. Ergo, there's no climate emergency. And it's a stupid fucking argument. When you understand that Bernie Sanders and Leonardo DiCaprio, little Greta Thunberg and Al Gore, when you realize these are paid fools, that their job in life is to look stupid. His job is to look dumb, and what they want is for people like this Larry guy to write about it, which means it's working. If you see Bernie Sanders coming off a jet airplane and spouting his socialistic garbage about the climate, you know one thing, you're talking about it, dummy. And that's the point, isn't it? You're talking about these people, you're focused on them. You think that because they're foolish and hypocritical, that somehow that proves there's nothing wrong with the environment. I hate to break it to you, but those things are not logically connected. You can consider Bernie Sanders to be a joke, and at the same time, look around. And what's going on right around you, if you could put down your phone for 5 minutes, is not a joke. I don't know for certain what's going on with the environment. I know something's broken. I know that something is broken. I know that there are very strange signs in the sky. Do I know what makes those weird markings? According to RFK Jr., they're adding all kinds of heavy metals and gunctus and other crapola to aviation fuel. Except those are turbine engines. And if you poured all that gunctus into the turbine engine, I don't know how to phrase this for you, those engines wouldn't last very long. They might not even last one trip. So that's clearly bullshit. And the contrail thing at this point in time is clearly bullshit. I don't know what the truth is, but the contrail argument makes no sense. Something's going on. You can ignore the paid fools. Their job is for you to focus on them, to somehow take something frightening and make it like a joke so you don't worry about it. But if you think there's a logical argument between Bernie Sanders flying plane, ergo, there's nothing going on with the environment, I think you need to rethink it, you know? Maybe consider some other information. And as I said so many times, just because I think something's happening doesn't mean the poor people are to blame. That is the oldest story. Blame the poor people, their cheeseburgers, their SUVs. It is the oldest story, and you can reject it outright for that reason. So you don't have to get stuck with the cheeseburger SUV bullshit either. You can simply look around and ask yourself, what the fuck is going on? And even more interesting, why are there currently two definitions? Two definitions. One correct, one false, all over the internet for what permafrost is. I don't know. I mean, one definition is the one I remember growing up. Permanently, at least in the context of ice ages, meaning tens of thousands of years, frozen. And the other definition says frozen for at least 2 years. One of those definitions is true and actually based upon the components of the word permanently frozen. One of those definitions is bullshit. But it's a paid full fallacy. You need to avoid it. Okay? Just because they pay somebody to make a serious topic look like a joke doesn't mean you should stop looking at the topic. In fact, it probably means the fucking opposite. Let's go to the next one, right? So I will tell you straight up, and I won't read the Dr. Freckles quote, but if you really think on the whole Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America, I think Texans and Floridians, and maybe even a few others, would want you to call it the Gulf of Flexus. It's the Gulf of Florida, Texas. It's where we dump the bodies. It's where we fish out the cocaine. It's, you know, it's where all the topsoil is. The Gulf of Flexus. What a joke. Yeah, I'm off my game tonight because I think reviewing the bill coming up from Bluehost made me realize that whatever I was going to try to do here just wasn't going to happen. I have a number of articles related to heat waves that have been going on. A heat wave in Canada. If you don't know this, Winnipeg, I think about a week ago, hit around 99 degrees. And frankly, there's been a really strange heat wave. I need to drink some water. There's been a really strange heat wave in Siberia. And again, that's on the Arctic Circle. There's been a strange heat wave in Siberia more or less since January, which means that, yeah, they got the chemical gumptus and they get little cool downs once in a while. But between the cool downs, their temperatures are just crazy. 70s, 80s, and I think it looks like they hit the 90s too. And this is May, folks. If somebody wants to tell you it's almost summer, well, gee, I guess winter is almost spring. It's kind of like last year between the chemical gumbus we would get up there in the woods. It would go away and then you'd have a little mini spring and the insects would wake up and the frogs would start chirping and then they would dump more chemicals on us and who knows what happened to the frogs that woke up too soon two or three times that winter. That's weird. But also there's nothing you can do about it. So I would suggest ignore it because that's a good strategy at this point. There's a link to a dust storm that hit Chicago this week. Totally normal. Don't worry about it. That shit always happens. Minnesota's been kind of hot and smoky. Don't worry about it. It looks like Vegas is going to have a long, hot summer with Lake Mead. Don't worry about it. There's a shit ton of dead whales that are just, you know, dead gray whales down there. Don't worry about it. I'm going to end the podcast with the subject. In yesterday's podcast, I used the word dilation when I was talking about schedule changes. And that was not the right term to use. I want to clarify and call this event compression. Now, what does event compression mean? Okay. So more or less every year since I was a little kid, they told me we were like 5 or 10 years away from landing on Mars. I mean it. Ever since the early 70s, we shut down Apollo. We went to the moon. We forgot how we went to the moon. And then we're going to Mars, right? Oh, but we got the space shuttle. Get the space shuttle going. Then we're going to go to Mars. International Space Station. Then we're going to go to Mars. It never happened. Every fucking year of my life since I was a kid, they would say in 5 to 10 years we'll be on Mars. In 5 to 10 years we'll have super robots. In 5 to 10 years, everybody will have a cheap flying car. In 5 to 10 years, the electronic brain will run everything. In 5 to 10 years, all of these things, to include fusion energy. 5 to 10 years away. There was an article, I think in Popular Science, maybe Popular Mechanics, from 2014. And the article was basically about Lockheed having a fusion reactor that would fit in the back of your pickup within 10 years. Well, I don't know how to explain this, but it's been 10 years. Now, here's an interesting thing, though. And this has been mostly the last couple of years, but especially this year. And it's not just technology, folks. It's this is going to happen and that's going to happen. It's all these big stories that were more or less 5 or 10 years away for 50 years. Now, all of a sudden, these things happen next year. In 2026, we're going to Mars. In 2026, you'll have a flying car. In 2026, the fusion machine will be very green, and you'll be on the scene drinking your martini, having sex with a robot in 2026. Check the schedules, folks. A lot of these things, the Mars, the fusion, the robots, the electronic brain, the live long enough to live forever, you know. Crap. Kurzweil crap. I believe that as part of popping smoke, and I think we are in popping smoke phase right now, it's a little bit different than what I expected, but then 2020 was a little bit different than what I expected. And mainly what we're looking at with the bookend Trump PSYOP is a kind of inverse to the COVID BLM 2020 bullshit. You know, that targeted mainly the quote-unquote conservatives. Now it's flipped over, and what they're mainly targeting are the quote-unquote liberals. This is not accidental. This is on purpose. This is what you do. This is the Hegelian dialectic. This is divide and conquer. What is of interest is the fact that all these events that were 5 or 10 years away, which means you can always postpone them, they're all of a sudden it's next year. That's event compression. I believe that signifies something. Here's the statement I will make. Either A, nobody is landing anybody on Mars in 2026 or 2027, or B, you know, nobody's going to be doing it. I guess there's two versions of the no one's going to do it. It's not going to happen because shit will fall apart, or it's not going to happen because it was never going to happen. But I do think they're telling us that 2025 is a transitional year and something really interesting happens next year. I don't know. We'll see. As you can tell, this podcast did not go so well. I don't like thinking about the few things I hold on to that keep me sane going away. And as weird as it sounds, the storytelling, the podcasting kind of keeps me sane, but that's not necessarily a good reason to do it. And there's a lot of ego, you know, sort of wrapped up in it. And then when you get right down to it, if it comes down to I end up becoming homeless before I can find another job, then there's a whole bunch of things in my life right now, as meager as my life is, that will have to go by the wayside, or I will. And this gets back to that classic Dr. Freckles quote, "The wisdom of life is knowing what to take with you and what to leave behind." But it gets so fucking depressing after a while of leaving so many things behind. The fact is, there's a whole bunch of podcasts that could likely disappear, completely gone, because they don't exist on Rumble or Spotify. They only exist in the memory space of a server at Bluehost. And once they're gone, they're gone. And if you're going to say, well, why is that the case? Because I do not have the resources to do better than what I'm doing. I don't have the resources for a new computer. One of my computers is 3 years old. The other one is like 10 years old. And the fact is, the three-year-old one is kind of a cheapo, and the 10-year-old one is kind of a cheapo. That's it. That's my situation. Don't feel sorry for me, but let me explain the simple fact that I do not have the resources to do much more than what I'm doing. And I'm not proud of it. I'm not ashamed of it. I don't expect anybody to fix it for me. And if you suddenly sent me some money, which I don't think you should do ever at this point, I think that's gone. I think I'm going to take down the donation link probably pretty soon. You probably don't have the resources to help with this anyways, is my point. Nobody does. This is not a tragedy. Tragedies are coming, And I'm sorry to say it, because I wish I could say different, but this is 2019 bullshit. This is not a fucking tragedy. And if, you know, I can keep podcasting, then I'll keep posting to Rumble. I'll keep posting to Spotify. You know, like I said, I'll attach a PDF, you know, document for the notes if people give a fuck. But I just don't know that it matters. And I want to have a different attitude. I just can't get there. It's like the cancer thing. Cancer is fucking horrible. And if you've seen people you love go through it, and like I said, I've seen it a couple times, there's just no good way to describe it. It is torture with all the medications, to include fentanyl patches and oral pain relief and, you know, injectables and everything they can do to manage pain. There's a point at which with cancer, stage 5, where basically all you can do is watch a person either be in pain or pass out and go into a coma and then die. It's ugly. It's terrible. But it doesn't make bad people good or good people bad. It sucks what happened in 2021 with GoDaddy. I'd paid them money. I'd paid them resources. I've been a dedicated customer of theirs for a decade, you know? And then they just threw the bomb at me and canceled me and took prepaid fees I couldn't really afford to replace. And they stole intellectual property, some of which I was able to claw back, but a lot of it, no. And I wish I could say, well, gee whiz, you know, is that a big deal? But it isn't. None of it is. The Goat King crap's not a big deal. The 50 or 60 different scammers that send me weird-ass emails every day, that's not actually a big deal. I would be better to grab my Bible and a backpack, to grab a few cans of food and some ramen and some water and just hit the fucking road. That makes more sense at this point than anything else. Not a software engineering career again. Not a, oh, I'll do project management. Oh, I'll somehow end up working for the school. No, none of this is probably going to happen at this point. What I think is most likely to happen is what I should just accept, and that is just hit the streets. And I know, to be vilified, to be hated, but that's already a thing for me. I don't have a lot of friends. And so if you're asking me, is it a dark, dark place to hit the streets at this point? Hell yeah. And guess what? Some of you will be following me, you know, my way. You will. Sooner than you fucking think. So it's not a special thing either. It's just the confrontational issue. In March of 2020, when I suspected that the COVID was 100% bullshit, I went to a really dark place, and I was thinking of going up into the hills. And in retrospect, I wonder if I made the right choice. Like, I might have died up in the mountains, but if I could have somehow figured out a way to live up there, then wouldn't it have been better to be disconnected from all this bullshit forever, for however long such a thing is possible? And of course this is whimsical thinking. Of course it's absurd. It's like thinking Harry Truman's floating through space. Of course the guy got killed. But I guess I'm just not ready to throw it away. I'm not ready to give up. So anyways, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to spend all day on this or talk about it too much. I am probably taking down my PayPal link. So if anybody would be thinking about donating, I'd probably do it in the next week or so. But also, like I've said, if you don't have the money for food, water, shelter, if you don't have the money to take care of your pets, if you don't have the resources to help people out who are part of your immediate existence, your life, your real life, I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I'm not talking about the scammers and the grifters. I'm talking about real people you know. If you don't have the resources to do those things, to take care of yourself, and to carve out a little bit of joy, then you don't have any resources to donate to my fucking podcast. And that's a simple truth. And I don't want it anyways at this point. Oh, sure, if you send it to me, I'll probably think on it and I might even take it, but I don't really want it. And what I want is like a lot of things for a lot of people right now. What I want, I can't have. It is May the 18th, 1980. On this date, 45 years ago, Harry Truman and his 16 cats were hurtled into space. on an elliptical orbit that took them throughout the solar system. They saw the asteroids. They saw Uranus. Have a great rest of your Sunday.